he's great. He's still great. Like it was ever up for debate. Oh, this is like a full-on poem. This is great. Oh, wow. not
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. After an international break that saw Bayern Munich's players star for their various national teams, the Bavarians marched to a 4-0 victory at Fortuna Dusseldorf on Saturday, making it 3 wins out of 3 with 10 goals scored and none conceded since Hansi Flick took over as interim manager. After such a good start, could the Bavarians be considering keeping him in charge long-term, or will the recently made available Mauricio Pochettino turn the club's eyes? I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to discuss that question and much more with my friends Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Before we get into the manager question with Pochettino and Flick, we have to talk about the game that took place yesterday because, once again, it was a dominant performance from Bayern Munich. Flick ball, as I've seen some people calling it, or my personal favorite that I saw on Twitter, Flicky Flacca, is working wonders at Bayern Munich right now. They are just running rampant since Hansi Flick took over. And so we saw a little bit more of that yesterday. So, Tim, I'm going to come to you. Just kind of give me your general thoughts on the match, how it seems to be working, what Hansi Flick has done with this Bayern Munich side that we're seeing that has led them to such a big win over a fairly decent Fortuna Dusseldorf side yesterday.
Yeah, this is another great performance, but much like the Borussia Dortmund performance, it was, I don't want to say it was expected, because there seems to be a tradition now where Dortmund come to the Allianz Arena and just kind of capitulate slightly, like regardless of whatever form they're in, it's difficult for them. This was another great game that it's the sort of game that Bayern should be winning, and they did. So it's kind of, you know, I'm not well versed in the concept of expected goals, expected anything. I personally expected them to win, and they did convincingly. As for what he's doing, as for what Hansi Flick is doing as a manager, I don't think my brain is as nuanced as it could be in this to say, okay, he's doing this. This is where Kovac was falling short. This is what he's bringing. This is new. This is exciting. It's great to see a new direction, etc. I personally can't say that. I don't think there's anything drastically different from what we've seen before. It just seems to be that the players really respond quite well to him. I kind of never really got the impression in the, was it like near 18 months that Kovac was in charge, like 15, 16 months, that the players were fully behind everything that he said. Like there were reports on his last training session where he said, like, we work on all of these things in training. Why can't you do it on the pitch? It seems like Flick has the ability to say, we're going to do this in training, and then we're going to do it on the pitch. And it seems to work. So the thing that I've kind of taken away, I guess like the most primary thing that I can see, is that the players seem to be enjoying themselves quite a lot, which is refreshing to see. It's sad as a Kovac fan, but it's great to see as a Bayern fan that the players want to be there again.
Yeah, and I think that's, I do think that's pretty insightful, Tim. And I think that's something that we can definitely say that Flick has got down, because if you look at the interviews that players have been giving since Flick took over, almost every single time they like make sure to bring him up. So like Benjamin Pavard after yesterday's game said, you know, we all have a very good understanding with the coach, and that's translating to results on the pitch. Thomas Müller says, you know, the coach puts forward a plan and we stick to it. And so, you know, that's what's making it work so well on the pitch. And then, you know, even more recently, David Alaba directly is crediting Hansi Flick. So obviously there is, you know, something going on there. There's some sort of understanding between him and the players that he's got them playing at a higher level. He's done something that has really resonated with them, and it's really translating to results on the pitch. Sebastian, maybe you can expound on that. Maybe you've noticed something else a little bit more. Maybe you can speak to the importance of that player to coach relationship and how that translates to better football on the pitch.
I think my first answer would have been he has done away with some of the very unnecessary diversions, like The whole Thiago situation, for one thing, is the thing that comes most obvious to me, or some of the other things we could see at times where he was insisting on players to do certain things that they seem to feel are not what they really should do, and so on. I think there were a lot of conflicting things going on in the players' brains, and that's obviously usually not going to help much. And I guess Flick is... he brings a concept that everybody agrees with and everybody sees that it's working. And I guess that creates a good dynamic. And if, as long as you can keep that dynamic going, things are going to be fine. Other than that, I believe he has found some simple solutions for a handful of problems. Alaba and Martinez at center back is working quite well. The midfield is working exceptionally well. I mean, putting Thomas Müller back in there is probably the easiest fix that you can think of, I guess. It was totally pointless keeping him off the pitch, I would say, especially when he played well every time he played or he came on. And I guess these are just very sensible things, very reasonable, nearly obvious at times. And yeah, Flick doesn't come up with, this is kind of surprising reasons not to do these simple things, I guess. I think that's quite important. Also, I found it interesting, Manuel Neuer pointed this out. I hadn't quite realized, I hadn't watched it so closely, but I think it's quite true. The defense is playing further up the pitch than they used to be. We are pressing more and we are waiting for the opposition to come less, I guess. I think that's also an important point. And yeah, that all has something to do with, being bold, not being afraid. And I think we have talked about that a lot in the last couple of months. And I think that also definitely plays a big role here.
Yeah, I think you bring up something really, really good with the pressing. That's something that has been very evident over the past three games that you can tell the players have worked on. And it also goes hand in hand with getting Thomas Müller back into the starting lineup, because he's going to run all game. He's going to be able to press alongside or behind Robert Lewandowski the whole entire game. And it got us a goal yesterday just purely because of how well we were pressing and making the Dusseldorf defense make mistakes. So as far as like tangible things that you can see on the pitch, I think that's definitely one of them. And then you also talked about, just fixing the midfield in general, getting Thiago out of there, who, we've talked about over and over. He may be a great player, but this really has not been his season at all, especially sitting in that deeper role like Niko Kovac would sometimes put him in. But getting Joshua Kimmich back in there, who, as great as he was as a right back, is just as good as a defensive midfielder, if not even better. He's just controlling the game. And then partnering him with someone more mobile like Leon Goretzka or Kanton Tolisso, like we saw yesterday, it really makes for a great midfield trio, Kimmich, Müller, and then Goretzka or Tolisso. And I guess once we have more fit center backs, we may even see Javi Martinez take some sort of role. But just looking at the midfield, Tim, surely Thiago has to be looking at what's going on under Flick and thinking that this doesn't exactly bode well for him. So do you think it might not be long before we start to see him get a little bit unhappy? Because this is, Thiago's a midfielder who would pretty much walk into the starting lineup of, if not every single team in Europe, most teams in Europe. So what do you think he has to be thinking right now?
Thiago's kind of always come across as a very level-headed, mm-hmm. and very mature player. He's the sort of player that if he's going to get benched, he's going to know, okay, I need to work harder. And he's also going to be well aware that, yeah, he was at a level where he needed to be dropped. He was at that level earlier this season and was dropped for the first half of the Tottenham game, came in, turned it around, was one of the best players in the second half, and then got back down to that level again. So I don't necessarily think that he has anything to necessarily be concerned about. I think with Thomas Müller becoming, getting back into form again, that's going to do wonders for everybody, really, because you know, he has that versatility where, you know, if needs be, he can fill out on the wing. Okay, Bayern's squad depth isn't necessarily at that point yet because we have more wingers and more people that are more comfortable out wide. I think there are always going to be times for Thiago. I think I've kind of always said that if he was faster, then he'd probably be one of the best wingers in the world, but because he isn't, but he has that, the agility, not necessarily this, the speed, but the agility. I think anybody at the club is going to be well aware that he has a tremendous worth. And I don't think he's going to start getting his agent to say, oh, maybe Thiago wants to go to Manchester United, maybe wants to get reunited with Pep at City. I don't think he's that sort of person. And maybe he is. I don't know. I've never spoken to him. I'd be surprised if he is. I personally don't think that he would have anything to worry about and is completely understanding of the situation where you have to rotate. It's still quite early in the season. Like, it's like you've still got over half of the season to go. So there's still going to be plenty of time, and he's going to want to come back and he's going to want to fight. Like some of his best performances have been him not starting. Like the two that I can think of right now are against Tottenham earlier this season, and against Juventus he came off the bench and was incredible. He scored the goal, celebrated, he took his shirt off, and like he was like clutching his fist and he was so happy. And I can't see that changing. I really do think that he has that level of maturity to appreciate his situation and hopefully rectify it.
Yeah, I would agree with you that Thiago doesn't seem like the type of guy to throw a fit, to, you know, get upset at a lack of playing time. I think he does have that level head. He recognizes, or I guess you could say that he's his own harshest critic, and that really does show on the pitch. Like when he makes a mistake, he hustles back to rectify it when he can, and you can tell that he just gets real upset at himself, disappointed at himself whenever he's not playing at the level that he should. It's funny, you always say that if he was faster, he'd be one of the best wingers in the world. And I think you're probably onto something there, because technically speaking, he's at least top five players in the world. I mean, he can do some things with the ball that just hardly anyone else could even imagine. But fortunately for Bayern Munich, they do have one of the best wingers in the world in the form of Serge Gnabry, who, coming off of this last international break, has now scored 13 goals in 13 appearances for Germany, which is absolutely incredible. And he is just on fire at the moment. He scored a goal yesterday, assisted another. He seems to have developed a great partnership with Benjamin Pavard down the right flank. So, Sebastian, maybe you want to talk a little bit about that. I don't know if Pavard has convinced you at this point that he can be a starter at right back, especially seeing how he's playing with Gnabry. But what were your thoughts, especially looking at yesterday's match, about that duo?
Mm-hmm. Let me say something about Thiago before I go into that real quick. I think it's just important for a coach to, well, take these decisions and not to, well, it, from the outside with Kovac, it sometimes looked like there were those projects he was just trying to make work very hard, and he would just not drop them. And Thiago, I think, was one of them. And I think Flick is just making the sensible decision and not thinking, okay, this needs to work. And, well, it's in my head now. I will not give up. I will just, well, I will just do this until I get fired. And I think Flick is just making the reasonable decisions there. And I like that a lot, of course. Pavard and Gnabry really look great together. I totally agree. I guess I'm still a bit skeptical about Pavard, but yeah, he's finding ways, I think, to make that right back role work for him that other people wouldn't find. I guess he's not your typical right back. Obviously, he doesn't have the body type for it. I guess he's just too tall and not as fast as other people. He's not as technically as strong as other people would be at that position, I guess. But yeah, I think we know his shots are great sometimes. He's also working very well with Gnabry, and somehow it works. And I guess as long as we have that pairing, I guess I'm fine with it. It's still not my ideal right back, and he's probably never going to be. But I guess it kind of works. I still think a lot is going to depend on what we're going to do with those other players that used to play fullback for us, like Alaba and Kimmich. I think Kimmich is staying on the six now for the foreseeable future, but we really thought that before, and suddenly he was back at right back. So I guess I would not put money on it. I guess that would be too risky. The question for me is also, of course, what's going to go on with Alaba in the future. Maybe he's going to be a possible solution at right back. Maybe, I don't know. That's going to be interesting, I guess. And we cannot really answer the question if Pavard is going to be the solution without answering those other questions. Maybe there isn't even going to be a fullback or a right back in the sense maybe we're actually at some point still going to see three at the back. And then obviously roles change somewhat. I guess I could not really see Pavard as a wing back. I don't think that would work. I think you would agree with this. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we also have to ask, is this just Gnabry making Pavard look better than he is? Because Gnabry is just an exceptional player this season. And he has been at times last season, but this season it's just much more so, I would think. Also, when we look at the national team where he's playing striker, basically, and that also works quite well, I think that's what makes him so great. He's really a world-class winger at this point. But you could argue that in certain compositions, he can also be a world-class striker, and that's a thing we haven't seen in Germany in a while. I guess I could not even really say that about Marco Reus, I guess. So that's definitely exceptional, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more of this.
On the topic of Pavard, I think one thing that we can definitely say about him is that he's a hard worker, because I think we would all agree, if nothing else, he's improved a lot since the start of the season. And specifically looking at him as a right back, his crossing, he's done a lot of work on his crossing. You know, at the beginning of the season, playing a right back, he couldn't find anyone with his crosses, and now they're getting better and better and better, and to where he's consistently creating dangerous chances from the right. And I don't think it's just Gnabry making him look better. I do think that he is a good player. And I think that, like you said, he may not be the most orthodox right back, but I think he's kind of putting his own interpretation on the position, and it's really working out well for him. Yesterday, he took more touches than any other player. So Bayern played the ball through him more than any other player on the pitch. Now, granted, Joshua Kimmich did leave the pitch a little bit early. He probably would have ended the game with more touches than Pavard, but on the topic of Kimmich, I think you're right. I don't think we see him go back to right back, at least in any sort of, you know, permanent manner. I think as long as there's no significant injury crisis, Kimmich sees himself as a six. He obviously enjoys playing the role. He does extremely well there. You know, 4 months ago, I would never thought I'd be saying this, but I think that's also where he needs to stay. He's just shown that's his natural position. And I don't see him going back to right back, bar, you know, some sort of significant injury crisis where he maybe has to go and fill in. But I would think right now Pavard's a good solution, a good enough solution, to the point where Bayern don't have to think, okay, well, maybe we need to look for other options there. Now, you know, I do think that maybe testing out other players, maybe bringing in at the very least a backup, more dedicated fullback would not be a bad idea. But Pavard has really impressed me in recent matches with how he's playing as a right back. Now, what happens when people come back from injury, it's really still kind of up in the air. But Tim, I'd be interested to hear what you think about this whole situation with Pavard at right back and just Kimmich in the midfield and everything going on.
I don't know. I really don't know. There's part of me that wants to see Kimmich at right back, because I think just from like a storytelling perspective, I think it makes me so much happier to see like, oh, the short German guy, he's at right back. Like that's how Bayern are. But obviously Bayern haven't always been like that. We had I think we had Willy Sanyol at right back for a really long time. Like, it's, we had Rafinha. Like, there's, I'm sure we'll get to him later. There's, of course, no, like, there's no imperative that the right back needs to be a short German guy. It could be like an average height or tall French guy. It could be a really tall Brazilian guy. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just my personal preference. I really like seeing Kimmich on the right because I've seen him do so well with anybody that's in front of him, whether it's Arjen Robben or Coman or Müller, whoever it is, he's always been very reliable. Seeing him do so well in the middle, though, kind of makes more sense because if he's of more value in the middle, then put him in the middle. Like if that's where his best position is, then you need to put him in the best position. I think it's going to take me a while to warm to Benjamin Pavard. I think he's fine. I think there's always that reluctance, though, of, okay, we got one of the defenders from arguably the worst defence in the league last season when he was at Stuttgart. Having seen them play earlier today, I don't think it was entirely on him, though. They were really quite terrible. I'm fine with seeing Pavard at right back. And as you said, he's an incredibly hard worker and has got better and better. So I'm always going to hold out judgment. I'm not going to say, no, he's not good enough. Like, no, he's terrible. He shouldn't be anywhere near. My personal preference, though, it wouldn't be him. But I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
Looking at the other side, do we still like Alphonso Davies playing at left back?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. 100% yes.
Why
big fan.
Why so 100% yes, Tim?
He's incredible. I think I don't know if any other people kind of felt the same way that I did when we bought him. It was like, okay, are we just buying a marketing ploy? Like, do we just want more fans from Canada? Like, is this our attempt at, like, competing with, like, Christian Pulisic? Like, is this just, like, an opportunity to tap into the North American market? And, like, we kind of saw glimpses of what he could do last season, but I never really envisaged him becoming a key player. I'd say in November, he has been Bayern's best and most consistent player by a really long way. And he's not even a left back. He's doing such a great job playing out of position. I think I said this, I either said this here or on Twitter. The best thing about Alphonso Davies playing as a left back is that he plays as a left back. Like, he isn't just a winger that also comes back a little bit for defence. His positional awareness, his tackling, his physicality, everything about him is absolutely incredible. Okay, he makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Professionals make mistakes. Mats Hummels makes mistakes. Boateng makes mistakes. Neuer, Müller, Lewandowski. If he's not making mistakes, then something's incredibly wrong. But the fact that he is performing at such a high level, so consistently, at such a young age, and in such an unfamiliar position for him, is nothing short of incredible in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree. I'm definitely on board the Davies stays at left back train, especially looking at how David Alaba and Javi Martinez have been, how they've been in the center of defense. So I'm excited to see how this develops for him. I hope he doesn't get like burnt out playing so often so young. But I think once, you know, more of our defenders come back from injury and Boateng comes back from his suspension, we won't see that. But I hope it also doesn't, you know, go the opposite way. I hope Alaba doesn't move back to left back and then we don't get to see any more of Davies. I hope that we continue to see him, especially as the games, you know, get become more and more often and the schedule gets more and more busy. Playing ahead of him on Saturday was Felipe Coutinho. And I guess this is the last thing we'll talk about for this game so we can move on to other topics. But Sebastian, what did you make of Coutinho's match, especially playing in that left wing role? Because he's kind of been in this weird state at the club ever since Niko Kovac was sacked. And even right before that, he hasn't been totally impressive. He's kind of become like a Thiago in many ways. So What do you think of his game and his current situation at the club?
I think right now I would like to see more of that. I think it wasn't bad. It wasn't, I mean, he scored a goal, but it wasn't incredibly flashy or anything. I think he was not one of the best players on the pitch. I would definitely go to, I would definitely name different players here, beginning with Gnabry, but also Tolisso, maybe Müller, maybe Pavard even. So Kimmich, of course. So I would not see him as one of the best players on the pitch, I guess. But we really have to consider that this was basically his first real match on the left side, and Coman hasn't done much actually to say, okay, I'm definitely better. He's not really done much to earn that spot either. So I guess I would like to see more of him there. Perisic also hasn't been brilliant recently, so it's basically up for grabs, I think. And while Davies is still our left back, he's also not there. So, yeah. Otherwise, of course, I would probably say give Davies a shot on the left side. But, yeah, since he's working very well at left back, I don't think we should change that right now. Yeah, it's kind of tough for Coutinho, I guess. I don't think we really saw this coming. At least I did not. I thought that he would definitely play a better role, a more important role, under Kovac and also now. There were very good games by him this season, but just not enough of them. And yeah, I guess he's always, well, when you play him, he needs to be extra good on offense because he's not the best defender in the world, I think, especially compared to players like Thomas Müller, for example, but also compared to Gnabry. I think there's definitely room for improvement on that front. So if he's not playing better than other options there on offense, he's definitely going to have a hard time earning that spot, I think. I'm quite sure he imagined this to go somewhat differently, and I guess I'm kind of happy so far that there haven't been any complaints. I mean, maybe this is not quite fair towards him, but you would imagine that the player who comes as such a star player, yeah, would probably be kind of causing problems if he's on the bench. So yeah, I think it's pretty much up in the air. I would also not say that it's impossible that this is going to be our solution on the left side for the foreseeable future. So he's just going to have to show a bit more and do more of those very great things he can do at times. That just hasn't been enough from my perspective to earn that spot.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that seeing him on the left wing would be good, especially because I don't think we'll be seeing him in the middle anytime soon. I think right now the way Thomas Müller is playing behind Robert Lewandowski makes him undroppable. And so until that form goes away, he needs to be one of the first names on the team sheet right behind Robert Lewandowski. But before Saturday's game, some other big news in the world of football came out, and that was that Tottenham Hotspur sacked Mauricio Pochettino. Now, obviously, Bayern are technically managerless. We have an interim in Hansi Flick, who's been doing excellently, but it's no secret that the Bayern board is looking for other candidates, and of course, Pochettino found himself linked with Bayern very strongly, as he had already been and has been in the past. So, Tim, we'll come to you since you are our London football expert. Should Bayern Munich be seriously interested in Pochettino to the point where he's one of the front runners for the job? And we'll just start with that one for now. Should Bayern Munich be interested in him as he warranted their attention?
Well, as the London expert, which is going to be something to put on my CV. This is kind of a complicated one, because in my mind, for all of the tactical nuances that he could bring, that you know maybe Bayern had and elements of shortcomings with their tactical abilities, he would be a great fit because he'll be able to bring that level of intricacy that Bayern haven't really had since Guardiola. Like, he did really, really well at Tottenham to take a team where I don't think any Tottenham fan would be too annoyed if I was to say that Tottenham were never really like a massive problem for anybody. They'd like get a result every so often, but the whole phrase of like, lads, it's Tottenham, there's like a very good reason for it. They just always had the ability to just completely fall apart at any moment. And he kind of got rid of that. Like, yeah, okay, we are saying this a couple of months after they lost 7-2 at home to what could be described as one of the worst Bayern squads in recent history. We'll just gloss past that. I think if his problem wasn't necessarily that, oh, he's playing really, really bad football, like he's not getting the results, because he wasn't getting the results. Was it like one away win in 2019? That's quite terrible. That's like objectively really, really bad, because 2019 is almost done. And that's such a poor record to have. But everything up to that point, he got them to the Champions League final. Okay, it was touch and go at times. Like, he kind of needed, you know, last second luck a couple of times, but he still did it. Like, he was still in charge. He got the players to do that. As far as I can tell, he is no longer the Tottenham manager because he lost the dressing room or the locker room, whatever you want to call it. Changing room? Dressing room?
It doesn't matter.
He lost the play. Yeah, he lost the players. Okay, there are a number of difficulties with that squad. Christian Eriksen thinks that he's better than he actually is. There's a whole host of things with Jan Vertonghen. Toby Alderweireld is looking to leave. Serge Aurier is really only a footballer for like half the time he's on a football pitch, which is a shame. Like, there are, and Dele Alli was kind of like skyrocketed to the absolute top of footballing superstardom, and then it was like, oh, you're just going to play bang average. Okay, that's great as well. So there are a number of issues in that squad. But the whole concept of Pochettino lost the squad, that's what we've had with Niko Kovac. That's what we've had with Ancelotti. We almost had it with Pep Guardiola. I think like Klinsmann's probably the same. Louis van Gaal, I don't think so with Louis van Gaal. I think he left for various other reasons. But why would Bayern want to get in somebody like this? Squad has so many problems with, you know, fully buying into a manager. Why would they want to get somebody that's evidently got problems with that as recently as like, if you can't get Spurs to buy into your team, into your mentality, like, can you get other teams to buy into it? I think that's like a really quite a simplistic way of looking at it, because if you look past that, yes, he has got a pedigree that says you can build something over a long period of time, which is why I don't necessarily want Pep Guardiola to come back as manager. I want the person that's in charge of Bayern next season to be the manager in charge of Bayern 5 seasons from now, and so on. I think it should always be in the club's interest to kind of build Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger-style dynasty. Pochettino could be that person. I would just be very reluctant to give him the opportunity to be so.
And that's not even with, you know, you didn't even bring up the fact that he doesn't speak any German. His English is okay, but as far as I know, that took him a while to learn English, so it's not like he's going to have any better luck as a Spanish speaker picking up German in the course of a few months. And then on top of that, he has a pretty extensive backroom staff that Bayern would be reluctant to allow to come to the club and have so much power. So it's not like he, you know, he is a great manager, obviously, but it's not like he comes completely baggage-free, like you brought up. Sebastian, since, you know, if Tim's our London football expert, I guess you are technically our German football expert.
Technically.
Yeah, technically. But
I hope we're all German football experts, so that's fine.
Well, you know, we pretend to be at least. But the question has to be asked. We'd be remiss if we didn't. And I know it's probably a little early, but given how Hansi Flick has done so far, do Bayern Munich really even need to be looking too much for a new manager at this point?
I really think they should, because, well, you cannot just sign a manager just like that at any minute you just find yourself in a situation where you need one. So you kind of have to make plans for a bit more than a couple of weeks, I suppose. So, yeah, I agree that Flick could work out. It could be that he's just so good and that he just manages to take this huge step and make it work for a very long time. I guess that's possible, but we're only going to know when it's too late to try something else, when it's too late to sign Pochettino, when it's too late to sign Ten Hag, when it's too late to sign all those coaches we might want to sign. And that's why I think we should not overestimate Flick's potential here, because yeah, potential is great, but I think we should want to be reasonably sure that it's really going to work. And I think we are in a better position if we try to get a new coach. Well, maybe in the summer, I guess. I guess that's my preferred way to do it. I would make sure that I have the ideal coach that I want to have in summer. I guess that's soon enough. And well, if Flick has a hell of a season until then, if he's winning all those games, but you just cannot allow yourself to bet on that from now. That's just not something you're going to want to do, because imagine we don't do anything now and say, okay, let's see with Flick, and then everything collapses like in April or something. What are you going to do then? Then it's probably going to be too late to make a shot at any of those coaches we are interested in right now. So, yeah, I just would not want to do that. And I guess to also say something on Pochettino, I guess, yeah, I think this German language thing is really a huge concern for me. I think we should really make sure if we got a coach like Pochettino, I think we should put it into the contract that he's going to learn German, going to have a German coach who's teaching him like 5 days a week until summer, and maybe then can start. I guess then I might say, okay, maybe let's give that guy a chance. But of course, I still think that Ten Hag should be our guy.
Sebastian, are you trying to kind of looking for another job with that offer to coach Pochettino in his German learning?
It just so happens that I'm a German teacher. Yeah, that's true. So maybe I can drop my phone number if someone at FC Bayern listens to this. I guess
we'll send it.
Maybe you could put this in the description.
We'll send it into them. So I think you're right, Sebastian. I think that's a pretty important part of being a Bayern coach, that they at least put in an effort to learn German. And I also think that, you know, Pochettino, I do think he'd be a good candidate as far as coaching goes, but I still think Ten Hag nips him as who I would put forth as Bayern Munich's number one candidate for the job. And I think it's very insightful, like you said, to wait till the summer, because then we can see, okay, is Hansi Flick the real deal? Does he have what it takes to take this squad forward? Or is this just kind of the honeymoon phase, and then Bayern Munich are going to flatten out a little bit more? So, Tim, would you be aboard the Ten Hag as the favorite for Bayern coach train?
Yeah, I'm more in for, like, don't get me wrong, like, if Pochettino joins Bayern, I'm not going to sulk and like start complaining and like finding everything wrong with every single thing that happens on the pitch, because let's face it, I don't like those kind of people that do that sort of thing. If he joins, then I'll support. But given the option between Pochettino and Ten Hag, yeah, I would much rather see Erik Ten Hag join than Pochettino. I think both of them are more than qualified for the job, but I do think the previous experience of managing the second team and what he's achieved with Ajax is certainly kind of enough to kind of make sure that he gets my vote. Not that my vote really counts for anything.
Well, a couple more things before we wrap up. First, Uli Hoeneß is now officially no longer Bayern Munich president. That does seem a little bit weird to say. Herbert Heiner, I believe, has taken over as president We don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but Sebastian, do you anticipate this change having any significant effects, just only looking at the short term?
I guess it means that Rummenigge is going to play an even bigger role in a lot of the important decisions. I don't expect Heiner to really have a big impact in terms of everyday football stuff, I guess. So I think Rummenigge is now basically the boss, the clear boss. Of course, Salihamidžić being, what is it in English again? Well, part of the Vorstand, that's kind of, I guess, a try to balance this somewhat from Hoeneß's perspective, maybe, because I still think that Salihamidžić is kind of a Hoeneß man. But yeah, and I kind of dread this situation that Rummenigge is going to be, well, the sole boss basically here, and he's going to be the most important person in the club, taking the most important decisions, I guess. I'm not really quite happy with that, and I really hope Oliver Kahn is going to be in there as soon as possible and involved in those decisions. And then, of course, the whole Salihamidžić situation. That's going to be interesting. I think nobody really has a clear idea what that actually means, if he's going to give up some responsibilities, taking on others, or if his role is just going to be a bigger one, I guess. That's how I took it initially, but I'm not totally sure actually at this point, and I don't really know what to think about that too. So, well, I guess we'll have to wait until the dust settles somewhat and until we can see what this all actually means.
Yeah, it's one of those situations that's kind of tough to assess right now without having more detail as to what, you know, Salihamidžić's promotion means for the club, and who really has what power, when Kahn will really, you know, come onto the board, and when he has significant saying power within the club. So it's just all kind of speculation right now. So to wrap it up with one final thing, Tim, I believe that you have a shout out that you, I'm sure you would like to give to one of your favorite players.
Shout out my boy Rafinha. He's great. He's still great. Like it was ever up for debate. Oh, this is like a full-on poem. This is great. Oh, wow. I'm not even doing it on purpose. He won a competition, and that's all I'm prepared to say without rhyming anymore. So congratulations to Rafinha. Wow, that was an absolute roller coaster of emotion.
So for those who are out of the loop, Rafinha won the Copa Libertadores with Flamengo, I believe, yesterday, if not yesterday, Friday. The days are running together at this point. Interesting stat, though. He's the 10th player to win both the Champions League and the Copa Libertadores, which is essentially the South American Champions League. And he's only the second to have ever won the Champions League first and then the Copa Libertadores second. You two get bonus points if either of you can guess the other player to have won the Champions League first and then the Copa Libertadores. I'll give you a hint. He's also Brazilian.
Well, that narrows it down a whole lot, man. No idea, really.
Is it Ronaldinho?
Absolutely. It is Ronaldinho. Good job.
Oh, wow.
Bonus points to Tim. Kind of like, whose line is it anyway? That's how the points stack up, just so you know.
Yeah, but get 5,000 points.
Yeah, so I figured you'd appreciate that, Tim, with Rafinha now being in a category alone with Ronaldinho. He's finally getting the recognition that you've always said that he deserved.
It's about time that Ronaldinho was seen as one of the greats as well.
It's about time he found himself in such a in such prestigious company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've always thought he deserved a little more recognition, but that's going to wrap up this episode. If you're a fan of the pod, or if you've enjoyed listening, do us a big favor and leave a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperByronPod. You can keep up to date with us there, and you can also get in touch with us there. Or you can email us at SuperByronPod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you happen to be listening to this episode right now. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.